Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. You'll find this on page 1046 in your pew Bibles. Please stand for the reading of God's word. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Our Father in heaven, we would come before you as your children, and we would recognize our great need for the work of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, would you do your convincing work in our hearts once again? We need you desperately, whether we recognize it or not. Please, Holy Spirit, do a mighty work in our hearts, for without you, we are lost. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day, I was watching a television show, and a commercial came on. And it was one of the cable networks. It must have been, because there was a man standing in his backyard pointing to a pond. But the copy, or the words that were flowing behind him, were words about a trip to South America through the Panama Canal. So this man is moving his mouth, but the words that were coming out were totally unrelated to his entire surroundings and situation. And I was thinking, oh, how are they ever going to make that right? How are they going to reimburse for the advertising that was lost? How are they going to do this? But then it made me think about something. It really made me think about my own life. It made me think that many times the words of my mouth don't match the actions of my life. And so I'm sure, and many of you must be there, if we've spent any time together, and Nancy and I and the kids have been here almost 10 years now, you must have watched us over the years and almost chuckled thinking, that's so funny, the words of his mouth don't match the actions of his life. That's why each one of us needs the convincing work of the Holy Spirit every day to convince us that even though our lives don't match our words, that we are His, that we belong to Him. We are at sermon number 3 of a 4-point series. I started by talking to us about Jesus as our good shepherd and calling you to be his little lamb. And Pete took time last week to express to us the work of the covenants and how the redemptive covenant, the covenant of works, the covenant of grace, how they fit together in the person of Christ. But now those covenants are brought to bear in our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God makes us partakers of that covenant. Listen to how Charles Haddon Spurgeon describes this. Oh, what benefit is a covenant which was made between God the Father and Son before the world began, unless the Spirit of God brings the blessings of the covenant to us? Bring in any sinner and tell them that there is a covenant of grace, and how have they been advantaged thereby? I may not be included in it. My name may not be included there. I may not be chosen in Christ. But let the Spirit of God dwell in his heart richly by faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And that man sees the covenant ordered in all things and sure, and cries along with King David, "It is my salvation and desire." The covenant is, as it were, a lofty tree which is laden with fruit. If the Spirit does not shake the fruit and make it fall into wanting arms, how can we receive it? You see, we can be exposed to the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come under a conviction about our sin, and we can seek to wash our hands daily. But unless the Holy Spirit of God washes our hearts, we are lost. We need the Holy Spirit of God to make us partakers of the wonderful covenant Christ fulfilled on our behalf. So from this text in John chapter 14, I would like to make 3 points this morning. First of all, the Holy Spirit is always with us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit convinces us we are sons and daughters of God. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us of all Christ is. First of all, the Holy Spirit is always with us. Verses 16 and 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him," or the world is incapable of choosing him for itself, "because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he lives with you and will be upon you." Now let's just think for a moment a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit. Let your mind run all the way back into Genesis chapter 1. Remember it said the Spirit was hovering or brooding over that dark void. And that was a word that's used in the Hebrew language to convey a mother hen over her chicks. The Holy Spirit is going to bring out of this dark void an orderly life. Think of the Holy Spirit brooding over you when he regenerated you, when he gave you new life in Christ. He brooded over you, and he made you a partaker in the work of Christ. He applied to us the fulfillment of the covenant, which was gained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only was the Holy Spirit there in creation, of course, he preceded creation. He is God in the third person. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, in times past, the Holy Spirit was ignored, especially in Reformed circles. The work of the Holy Spirit was many times ignored. Nowadays, when people think of the Holy Spirit, they think of the Holy Spirit as the one who would cause them to be exuberant in worship. And that, indeed, is the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also is constantly convincing us that he is always with us. Think about the life of Adam. When the Lord God formed him, then he breathed the breath of life in him. And then think about the end of the Pentateuch in the Torah, in Deuteronomy, when it says that Moses went up on the mountain and he died. So we have the Spirit of God giving life, and we have the Spirit of God taking life. But we know that the Holy Spirit rests on God's people differently than he rests on all of mankind. The Holy Spirit actually indwells the people of God. He comes into us and he makes us his home. Now I want you to think for a moment. A number of you over the years, and this is based on our relationship over the years, have been confused about the security of your salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ says that he offers us eternal life. He doesn't offer us eternal life for certain periods in our life. He doesn't say, I will give you eternal life for the times in your life when you're faithful in church. I mean, it's illogical to think of eternal life as being anything other than lasting forever. So when God gives his people eternal life through the work of Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes that real in your heart, your security is found upon the work of God in your life, not necessarily in your response to it. Now, I want you to think a moment about how the Holy Spirit stays near to us. He comes upon each individual. Remember in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit manifests himself as tongues of fire, resting on each individual. So the Holy Spirit of God rests on each individual in this congregation who are his. And he is always with us. He's constantly convincing us that he is always with us. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Many of you know I'm going through a midlife crisis. We haven't talked about it publicly, but I'm sure a number of you have talked about it privately, which is often the case in the gospel ministry. But yes, I ride a motorcycle, and yes, I did go skydiving this year. And when I went skydiving, hey, I'm having fun in my midlife crisis. I already have a beautiful wife. I can't upgrade there. So I'm enjoying other things in life. So I decided to go skydiving with a dear friend of mine, Cal Ramage, who is also crazy. And as we went to go skydiving, we decided what we would do is there's a couple things you could do. First of all, you can take some classes, and then you can jump out of the plane with two people holding on to you. And then when you get to the part where you're done with your free fall and you're ready to pull your ripcord, they let go of you, and then you're supposed to do the rest. That was option one. Option two was that you can be connected to another diver, and you would dive out of the plane in tandem. You get up to about 13,500 feet. You slip your little feetsies over the edge of the airplane, take a deep breath, and the two of you, you hop out of the airplane. We chose that one. We chose that one for two reasons. Number one, that person was an expert skydiver. They had been skydiving for years. They had hundreds, if not thousands, of jumps. And so they were an expert. Secondly, I knew that if that person was connected to me, that if I hit the ground, they were going to hit the ground also. The Holy Spirit of God is an expert at delivering his people to God the Father. He has never failed. No one will ever be snatched out of the control, the tractor beam, if you will, of the work of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, he will never leave me. He will never leave you. If you hit the ground, he will hit the ground with you. A wonderful little illustration that I used about 8 years ago in this pulpit. Some of you might remember it. If you do, it would be wonderful. It would be the power of the Holy Spirit upon you that you remembered. I want you to imagine that you're a dog and you're being led on a leash. And as you're walking along on the leash, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's holding the leash. He's your master. And as you're walking along, you might get a little too close to the street, and he gives a little tap on your collar, and being the obedient, loving sheep, little lamb that you are, you run back to his side. But sometimes we stray and we ignore the work of the Lord's bidding in our lives. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We quench him. We, in disobedience, would wander into the street. Do you think the Holy Spirit of God would toss the leash out there and say, wow, this is going to be ugly? No, the Holy Spirit of God stays with us. He walks out with us. We take the Holy Spirit of God everywhere we go. Think about your weekend. Where have you taken the Holy Spirit of God this weekend? Now, some of you might have taken him to horrible places. I'm glad that he's brought you here. The Holy Spirit of God is always with us. The second point I would like to make is that the Holy Spirit of God convinces us that we are sons and daughters of God. Return your eye to the text, if you will, in verse 18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, I want you to think about that little phrase. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus Christ is indeed going to leave his disciples. I mean, we're looking at this retrospectively, aren't we? We know that the Holy Spirit has to come when Jesus leaves in order to be with his people. So indeed, what happens is the Lord Jesus Christ suffers his agonizing death and ultimately returns to his Father in heaven. And he leaves the Holy Spirit with us. And one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit is to continually convince his people that he is with us and that we are not orphans. The Greek word used here to describe orphan is destitute. An orphan, think of a little child. Think of a little child left to deal with the world. Think of a little child trying to cope with the complexities and evil of the world. You just immediately throw up your arms and say, it's impossible. How could you take a little child and leave them in the world alone? We know what would happen to them. They would end up in horrible situations. When one of our children runs away, it scares us. We think, what will they find? They don't want to live under my authority. They want to see how their authority works out in the world, and our hearts sink. We worry for them because we know how difficult it is to live in the world. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in us to convince us that we're not orphans, that we're not alone. Now, a number of us have had great experiences with other people in our lives. We think of maybe times when we were on athletic teams and we played together and we practiced together and we got hurt together and we cried together and we won together and we lost together. But then we went on about our lives. Some of us think of some of the wonderful relationships we have with our neighbors. When we're out of town, they'll come over and water our plants or take care of our animals or keep an eye on our house. And over the years, some of us have developed wonderful relations with our neighbors. But oftentimes that's short-lived. Many of us have had situations where we'll travel with a person. Some folks have just returned from a missions trip in Peru. And I promise you, they will have a bond with the people on that trip for the rest of their lives. They were on this mission trip, and they'll never forget swimming in the Amazon together and eating piranha as opposed to being eaten by a piranha. And these memories will well up over their lives. But still, think of those who have served in the armed forces together. Think of those who won our freedom. They were in a foxhole. Maybe there were three men in the foxhole, and one of them was shot, and the other two were left. Think of the bond that they have. They'll always be together, somehow in their heart. But I want you to know, the bond which we have in the Holy Spirit far surpasses all of those fleshly human bonds. The bond with the Holy Spirit is forever. 3 years ago, when I traveled to Peru, I watched a missionary. His name is Paul Clark. He went to a little town on the other side of the Andes from Lima, and he stayed in this town called Iquitos. And in Iquitos, there is a horrible epidemic that's going on. In fact, it's going on all over the world. That is where mothers will abandon their children. It seems impossible to our culture to think of a mother carrying a baby in her womb for all those months, going through all of the swollen ankles and squished internal organs and all the difficulties, especially in the month of July when it's really hot, that she would be able to give birth to a child and then leave that child. But that indeed is happening all over the globe, even this day. In Peru, the mothers will have a child, and if it is a male child, They'll take care of the little boy until he's 3 or 4 years of age, and then they will get on a bus, and they will travel across to the other side of town, and they'll begin shopping in the market. And when the little child leaves, out of curiosity, as almost every child does, to look at something and gets distracted, the mother will turn on her heel and march out the other side of the market, get on the bus, and ride home without her child. She will abandon that little boy. She will leave him destitute. It seems unfathomable to our souls, doesn't it, that a mother or a father could do that? And Paul Clark has a ministry of helping these little street boys. One day in Iquitos, Paul went to the home, and home is a stretch of the imagination. He went to this little shanty, and he walked in the front door and found a mother who had two boys, an 8-year-old and an 11-year-old. And he said that he would like to take her boys. He would like to take them and bring them to the orphanage. And the reason he was doing that was because he had been talking to the 11-year-old, and the 11-year-old boy was saying, "I'm going to leave home. I can see my mother doesn't have the ability to feed me any longer." And when Paul heard that, he went over to that woman's house, and I had the privilege of sitting there listening to him talk to this woman, trying to talk her out of her children so that they could be in a better place. The Lord Jesus Christ will never abandon us. I do not know what sin you are involved in. I do not know the people that you have hurt and the relationships that lie in ruin behind you or around you. But I will tell you from personal experience that the Lord Jesus Christ will not abandon us, and he will, by his grace, allow us to renew those relationships. But also, he will not let go of us. He will stay with us, and he will not leave us destitute. In fact, one of the signs that he has not left us destitute is that you're here this morning. The Holy Spirit of God has done his work. He is continuing to convince us that not only is he with us, but we are not orphans. He stays with us. He holds us near the Father. The last thing I would like to talk about this morning is the thought that the Holy Spirit of God teaches and reminds us of all Christ says he is. If you would, turn your attention to verses 25 and 26 of this passage. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Do you know that's the work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit reminds us. The Holy Spirit teaches us all the things of Christ. Think about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to illumine Christ within the hearts of believers. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not bring attention to himself. And that's what's difficult many times when we do think about charismatic responses or outgoing responses to the work of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with those responses, by the way. There's nothing wrong with raising your hands or shouting amen. In fact, many times while Skip is preaching, honestly, I almost think that we're all just going to fall over. We're just going to fall over. We can't absorb any more of the beauty of the work of Christ on our behalf, but somehow we can. Many times he'll finish preaching and Colin will finish playing, and I just think we're all just going to sit here and the ceiling's going to peel back and the Lord is coming. And instead we get up and say, "I wonder how Tiger did in the British Open this morning." I would say, and I heard an old PCA elder, Presbyterian elder, say this at General Assembly. He said, "Our walk with Christ is somehow a cross between amnesia and deja vu." Because our walk with Christ, we're constantly walking along saying, I have forgotten that before. You're here this morning, and some of the things I've said, hardly anything new for those of you who've grown up underneath the beauty of a covenant home, but in your mind you're thinking, you know, I've forgotten that before. You know, I have forgotten that before. You see the work of the Holy Spirit? He's constantly reminding us. Reminding us of what? Where to find a parking spot or whether you turn left when you're going down Highway 30? No! The Holy Spirit of God is reminding us of the work of Christ. And day after day, like the waves as they hit the shore, the Holy Spirit of God is working in our hearts, enlarging our hearts that we might understand more of the work of Christ. He is teaching us all about Christ. And he's reminding us about the work of Christ. How does he do it? He does it in our time in the Word. Each morning when we wake up and we roll out of our bed and we fall on our knees and we say, Father, I don't really feel that I need you. But over the years, I've learned that indeed I do need you. And so, Father, you find me on my knees this morning because I am a humble, needy servant. If you were to remove your Holy Spirit from me for a moment, what would I be but a destitute orphan? Remember David in Psalm 51? After his horrendous sin with Bathsheba, he prays a prayer of confession, but then what does he do in the middle of that psalm toward the end? What does he do? He says, oh God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Give me all the consequences you would. Punish me. Take away my rule as a king. Take away my family. But, oh God, do not remove your Holy Spirit from me. Do you see what has happened in the life of King David? The same thing that's happening in our lives, even at this very moment. The Holy Spirit is welling up within us in such a way to remind us, oh, you are the greatest, King Jesus. You are the most magnificent for us. We follow you. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. We see you in the Scriptures. We see you when we kneel to pray. We see you as we drive to work. We see you as we look through this corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, look, look, he's here. I can't believe he's here. What's he doing here? The Holy Spirit somehow caught him by the ear and has brought him here this morning. See, the Holy Spirit illumines our hearts that we might see the work of Christ. And we are forgetful people. He continually reminds us of the work of Christ. Now, I want you to leave this morning with a thought that I hope will capture what the Holy Spirit does. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit dove out of heaven with a long rope. And they dove out of heaven with a long rope, and they're descending down, and the Lord Jesus Christ arrived with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the requirements of the covenant of works. Many people say, well, how do you know you're saved? Are you saved by grace, or are you saved by works? And many of us want to say, well, I'm saved by grace. Well, which is a fine answer, by the way. But an even better answer is to say, I'm saved by works and grace. And then everybody's going to lean forward because they want to hear the orthodoxy of your next statement. And we will say, I'm saved by the perfectly righteous works of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God has applied to me by the power of the Holy Spirit by grace. We're saved by the works of Christ as applied through the power of the Holy Spirit to his people by grace. And so Jesus Christ walked 30 some odd years perfectly fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law. And then he ascended back to heaven, and what he did, and let your sanctified imagination, as E.V. Hill would say, let it travel with you and imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ carried back this rope behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. And he has this rope affixed to himself in heaven. And the Holy Spirit stayed behind. And the Holy Spirit goes about the earth attaching this rope of faith into the hearts of his people. And then day after day, as one day of your everlasting existence goes by, the rope swings and the ropes get shorter one day at a time. As the Lord Jesus Christ draws you up into everlasting life with him, he's drawing us up. Yesterday is gone. The rope is one day shorter. He's drawing us to himself. And the Holy Spirit of God has stayed to hold that rope affixed to our hearts. He's always with us. He's convincing us that we're not orphans, even though we are heinous sinners. And he is illuming our hearts that we might see the work of Christ on our behalf. Little Lamb of God, do you know the Holy Spirit is working on your behalf right now? If Jesus Christ is your good shepherd who walks in front of you that you may follow, the Holy Spirit is the hound of heaven who circles behind his little fold to keep us following our shepherd. Do you see the beautiful work of the Trinity in salvation? Augustine said it's always dangerous to divide the work of God between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But I do think it's critical for us to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, right now, little Lamb of God, has brought you here. He's convincing you again. You can sense it in your heart, can't you? While we were singing, or while we were listening to Steve and Jenny, couldn't you sense the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart? He was convincing you again, wasn't he? He's digging the moorings of that rope into our hearts ever deeper until the day we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, face to face. He is tuning our hearts so that on that great day, we will sing in harmony the beautiful song of praise to our great shepherd, our King. May the Holy Spirit do a mighty work in your heart this day and every day until you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face.